everyone, welcome to 1010 Would Recommend. It is I, Talani, Tolly.
And me, Gina. Hi, T, how are you?
I am very, very good, thank you. How are you, my love?
I'm good.
You don't sound it.
Well, the country's mourning today, aren't we? Aren't they? I would say we, but mine.
I mean, the country is very, very sad today because all hopes of ever taking it anywhere near home has left the building. It missed the last train and it surely is not coming home.
Trying to come home, got lost on the way home, no longer coming.
It's no longer here. But I feel like as British people, how foreign is losing to the Brits? Not to be negative. I feel like my British sense has this kind of like, we tried. I think Britishness like credits, we tried.
Yeah, you're right. You're probably right. Yeah, they should put that on passport control when you get to England.
Yeah, and it's like, we tried.
Welcome to England, we tried.
We tried, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, I suppose this is relevant because it was on TV.
Yes.
I've never been somebody who's been interested in football. And I think that it's cool. Like, mm-hmm. You know, much like I think any sport on TV is like...
Cool. I was going to say, do you watch any sporting activities?
I'm like one of those people who cops out because like when the Olympics is on, I watch running because there's always
a Jamaican kid in it.
There's always a Jamaican kid in it, yeah. Same like, et cetera. Or I watch like, I absolutely love watching ice skating or synchronized
swimming. That is so random.
I know. Love ice skating.
I know what you mean by synchronized swimming. I find it fascinating. Like, how are you contouring your body to be doing all of that? You magicians.
It's so amazing. So I do watch some of those things, but in general, and I think it's because I've just always had like a very complicated relationship with like, the aggressiveness that comes with football.
Yeah, it's very hooliganism.
That passion, I can't relate. There's absolutely nothing on earth.
I was watching it and being like, what do I care about this much?
There is nothing.
That I'm not a part of. Not,
exactly. Like,
there was nothing. I mean, I say that I did have to walk out of the restaurant when I was watching it during the penalties because my heart literally thought it was going to come out of my chest. And I was like, I don't need to have hypertension because of an England squad. I'm going to go for a walk.
Yeah.
And I just went for a walk and the streets were silent as it happened.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a really weird, surreal moment. And I went back in. But I do quite enjoy watching sports. I mean, I don't watch football. I just think it's a very long game.
Yeah,
like, there's absolutely no need for anything to go on for over 90 minutes. I don't know how anyone is fit enough to do anything for that long.
Mm.
But things like basketball I watch, I generally really enjoy watching basketball.
Oh, okay. Yeah, live basketball matches are fun as well.
Yes. Nobody believes me because I'm 5 foot something, but I used to play basketball. Go on, get your laughs in.
I'm not going to laugh, no. I believe it. I believe it because it's a competitive sport.
And I like competition.
And you love competition,
I absolutely thrive off of competition. But also, I have a thing with sport people. I think that, like, I have books about David Beckham's book. I have Magic Johnson's book. I think their tenacity and how they maneuver is insane. I feel like even with watching like the documentary, Michael Jordan documentary on Netflix, just hearing their stories and hearing how they're like so determined and they're like, I'm going to get this. And they train and things like that.
Yeah.
I find it inspiration. I find it insanely amazing.
Yeah.
And they decide they're going to play sport from then like 9 years old. I'm going to do this. And they actually see it through. I want to be a pilot, a fashion designer, and a discus thrower at 9 years old. I am neither of those things. Every single one of it I dropped along the way. So like when I watch their documentaries or read their stories, I'm obsessed with being a sportsman because I don't think I have it in me. And I definitely lack sportsmanship because there's no way I'm losing and watching people win and celebrate in front of me. There's no way.
Yeah, I don't think you would make it.
I'm either fighting or walking out the stadium. Can you watch people like cheering in front of you when you've lost?
I don't mind other people winning
what?
Things. I really don't. I don't know what it is. I don't know why I don't have that competitive nature, but like, I don't really care. It's not going to kill me.
And also, if they're against you, like if you're playing a sport and they're against you and they win, you don't care.
But what's going to happen to you? Are you going to die?
But no. I lost.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, it does. It absolutely does. What do you mean it doesn't matter?
It doesn't. No, deep it. If you really, really think about it, obviously, yes, you've trained, etc. But it's not, I know this sounds lame, but it's not just about the win. That's why they're so impressive.
Oh, gosh, you're a taking part person.
No, I'm not a taking part person, but I'm like, you tried, just like you said. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, the Nigerian in me doesn't allow for the you tried, you know?
You can't win everything. Have you won everything that you've ever taken part in?
Anything I definitely come in, I don't take part in.
That's a cop-out.
It absolutely is a cop-out. And of course, I've lost many of things. I used to play sport in school, so of course I've lost many of things, but I've also been heartbroken about it.
Yeah. I don't have the energy, man. It's too many other things.
I remember being in coaches on the way home from like a netball game or a basketball game or athletics and crying.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like genuinely sobbing.
You would be a football hooligan if you were more interested in it.
I wouldn't, no, I wouldn't. I wouldn't fight. I wouldn't do any of that, but I would, yeah. If I was a sportsman, I would absolutely sob.
Damn.
Like when I lose at quizzes, I like go upstairs. Do you know, it's like a games night and like you just did it when I'm like, no, I'm going upstairs. Or if it's in the house, boards. I would have been like, everyone get out. I would have been like, everyone leave my house right now.
I'm not telling myself at all. You're not.
It's just, I can't help it.
Damn.
Like, well, I don't even let kids win things.
Let's move on because it's getting terrifying.
I go like bowling with kids, I'm like, you're not winning.
I apologize to all the kids out there. Talani will not beat you if you ever beat
her. I will beat every sport. Anytime you come head to head with me, little kid, I will beat you.
So today is a very interesting show that we're talking about.
Yes.
You might have seen the trailer on your social media. It's Sexy Beasts. It's a show where people who are desperate to find love dress up in prosthetics that make them look like random animals and or creatures.
Mm-hmm.
I've got someone who's dressed as an owl, someone who's dressed as the devil, someone who's dressed as the shark. It goes on and on and on. And our guest today is Simon Welton. And a bit about Simon Welton is he's the creator and exec producer of Sexy Beasts, but has also worked on some of the biggest shows in British TV. Big Breakfast,
yeah.
Big Brother,
yes.
Soccer Aid, Space yeah. Cadets, okay. Horrible Histories. That's just to name a few. So he's the man who knows about how to make an entertaining, intriguing format, and this is definitely one of the most intriguing shows I've seen lately.
Welcome to the strangest blind date ever.
Hey, how you doing? Damn, how you doing?
Could you fall in love with someone based on personality alone?
What is your ideal woman?
Personality for me is everything.
Ash first, personality second.
You're the best looking devil I've ever seen.
This is really weird right now.
Would you count this as a weird experience for you?
Yeah.
So I like your fin.
Simon, it is an honor to have you on. Mainly because, look, as somebody who works on social for Netflix UK, when we put this trailer out for Sexy Beasts, that tweet went wild.
Insane.
So many people were talking about it. I mean, it's gold for a trailer, isn't it? Because it's like so absurd and so weird that like you have no choice but to be like, what the hell is this? Like, such a great concept. But of course, a lot of Brits would have already seen the show before because it did exist on BBC Three before. How does it work in terms of something going from BBC Three to going onto Netflix? Like, what's that transition there? What's the deal? How did it happen?
Well, it happened that they happened to have I think they called it almost like a speed dating pitch or something. So we went in, and lots of companies were going in there, and we sort of, you know, pitched it as an idea because, you know, we loved the series that we made for BBC Three. And, you know, it was a real shame. It didn't come back and it got buried in all kinds of, you know, when BBC Three went online and everything else. And we, you know, really believe in it. It's a great show and it's really fun to make. So cut a little tape together of bits and pieces from that series and just, you know, use that. And we sort of pitched it as it's a way of doing a sort of warm, funny dating show. That's what the show is. You know, it's designed to be, you know, they're 22 minutes now, you know, and it's a really just enjoyable break. You know, it's that kind of escapism that I think we kind of all need.
No, absolutely.
But now you can sit and watch these and you giggle along and you play the game and you want to know what they'll look like and you want to know if they, you know, do get together and, you know, it's just a, you know, hopefully we sort of make you laugh with Rob's voiceover and we pitched it as a, you know, you don't really have a sort of lighthearted comedy, you know, dating show because it was pretty Too Hot. It was, you know, we went and saw them before we even knew what Too Hot to Handle was, which you know, has a sort of similar vibe in a sense of Desiree's, you know, voiceover the sort of tone of that. So,
okay, so why did you decide to go for the beastly angle of it all? Like, is it a kink? Is it a? Is it?
Well, I'll tell you how this worked. Right, I had an idea called Mrs. Datefire. Right.
Okay. Okay.
Nice. Mrs. Doubtfire is Talani's favourite film.
And I'm a sucker for a fairly bad pun. So immediately I was like, okay, that's quite good. And the idea was that you take a guy and he's going to date a girl, but he's really nervous about it. And so, or this is a girl that's going to date a guy and she's really nervous about it. And so you try and help them out on that date that they're going to have by the girl that he's going to date thinks she's on this show that's all about dating. And so you then take the guy and you dress him up in prosthetics, you age him to be like an older woman. What this girl likes on a date, the kind of guy she goes for, all that sort of thing. So the idea was that the guy would then put the prosthetics on, look like an old woman, talk to this girl, and he'd learn lots of things about her. And so when he went into the actual date later, kind of armed with stuff that he knew about her and she liked.
Deceptful.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's a bit creepy, actually, when you look back on it. To be honest with you, I'm glad it never went with it. And so we did a little taster, actually, and we got, you know, some people and we put aging prosthetics on them. And the two things we learned were, firstly, like, aging prosthetics don't look real, really, to the naked eye. So you kind of, people are immediately going, oh, there's something not right here, you know, not right. Mm. And actually, the more difficult thing was, you then have to get the guy to perform. So he has to do, you know, what Robin Williams did. No, you know.
Right.
And it just didn't work because, you know, these people weren't actors. But that sort of led me to the thought that actually, you know, what prosthetics do best is they do creatures and animals and mass. So that was kind of the thought, okay, how can you use that? And, you know, it's also sort of pre-Masked Singer, all this sort of thing, you know, it's a long time ago. Yeah. And so the other thought was, well, if you're flicking through the channels and you come across that show, you are going to stop and go, what?
Yes.
What is this? You know, why is there a beaver, like, on a shotgun date with a leopard?
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, so that was really the genesis of it, yeah.
That is my biggest question. Mm. Aside from where did this idea come from, is, like, I would love to be a fly on the wall for when you decide what beast you're going to put in this show, because the way that I imagine it is that everybody gets like a bit drunk, bit shot, and then there's just a spinning wheel and everyone's like, all right, it's going to be a devil with a ant. Yeah. Like, how did you decide even what you were going to include in the show?
Well, you've got it right. I mean, that's exactly how it's
right, yeah, fair.
we sat down and we just tried to write down as many things, animals, creatures as we could think of that were quite cool. Because so Christian, who's the guy that sort of designs all the prosthetics and runs the company that sort of make them put them on, he's amazing, really. And there's sort of nothing that you can't give him in terms of an idea of what if it looked, you know, what would a beaver look like. And so we just wrote down a very long list, and he at the same time was writing a very long list of ideas and thoughts. And then he put together like a little sort of mood board with, you know, what kind of, like Bennett, who's the mandrill baboon thing, that yeah, kind of pose and everything. And so, and then
I hated that face. It creeped me out so much. And then when like they did the kissing bit, and I was like, oh my god, I literally said out loud, this is disgusting, but couldn't stop watching it. Like, I was just watching it. I was,
oh, look,
yeah, because I imagined that, like, you gave people creatures according to their personality. So, because I was going to ask you, who would me and Gina be if you had to beast us up?
Oh, well, I don't know, I have to think about that. We didn't do it that way.
Oh, right, yeah.
The way we did it is we cast the masks in the shows, actually, as well as casting the people at the same time.
Oh, right.
What we're trying to do is go, okay, so you want different textures and colours, and you want a couple of animals and maybe something mythical. And so we were trying to go, what looks good together, because, you know, some of them have got scaly skin and some of them have got fur, and some of them, you know, just like, you know, sort of almost like human skin. So that was really how we put the masks together, is what would make the shows look great, whilst at the same time we're sort of casting the people and, you know, trying to figure out who we wanted to be our pickers and all that. So yeah, the other thing about the masks as well, and to go back to that original idea, was, do you remember a show called Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not a small show. Everyone knows it. You
know, I'm really old, so I don't know if people really remember it anymore.
No, we still remember it.
We've got you.
I used to really like those bits where you get like a couple of vampires talking about normal things or having a bit of an argument or something. And that's where that's what we wanted in the show, is we wanted, you want, you know, there's a sort of couple of them in there. That there's a bit where there's a guy Okay, so two guys are talking and one guy's going to the other. This isn't in the show, actually. So, but there's two guys talking and one goes to the other. Oh, do you know what? When I used to work in IT, he says, I really lacked confidence. But when I became like a personal trainer, God, you know, it really changed me. And that in and of itself is just a nice, sweet conversation. But that's a Sasquatch talking to a parrot. So that's what makes it lovely. You're just eavesdropping on these brilliant little conversations. It just really amused me, that sort of thing.
That is such a good question, T. Which beast would we be? What beast would you want to be?
I don't know. I think it's a hard question. I wouldn't be like a devil or anything because I don't play with things like that.
Devil was really scary. It reminded me of the devil. Did you ever watch Powerpuff Girls?
Yes.
The devil in... Yeah, they look like that character. Yeah. Really good.
I think I'd like want to be, I don't know, a raccoon. I don't know. I don't know why. I don't even know why. But I feel like that would be a fun thing to play with. I feel like all of the like dating shows, like they're always successful. Like I feel like there hasn't been a dating show that I've ever hated. But the lesson always is, you know, it's not always about looks. Because when I first watched this, I thought, oh, do you remember Dating in the Dark? Yeah. I don't know if you guys, the good old days of Living TV, where it was like you didn't see this person. This feels like a much more upgraded, clean, more beautiful, more weird version of Dating in the Dark sort of thing. But it's like, what's wrong with just liking someone for their looks? Like everyone is trying to tell us not to and be like, but why not?
Yeah, I don't think there is anything wrong with it. And that's why all those different shows exist, really. But my thing on it is, in the end, the looks will go. That's, the, as you guys can see, but thankfully anybody listening to this can't. Looks go.
Don't say that, Simon.
In like 40 years' time, you want to still be able to have a chat to each other, don't you? And I think if you've sort of bonded on, if you felt that click initially based on personality rather than looking, I mean, again, you know, to go back to your Too Hot episode with the two of you just at one point just gushing over.
I know, it was pathetic.
We don't mention that anymore.
It's also embarrassing. It's ridiculous. And then, and then you find out more about the person. You realise, oh, these looks don't actually matter because this person's an awful person.
See, that's the thing. In our way, hopefully, you're trying to find whether they're awful or not quite quickly.
No, it is quite nice as well. But do we ever get an update on what happens to these guys? Because that's the only thing that I have missing for me with dating shows. I want to know what happens. Really,
I suppose if it works, maybe. If people watch it, then maybe so. I mean, a lot of them are still in touch. You know, I can tell you that much. But yeah,
nice.
We shot, September, October, November last year. So it's quite a long time ago now.
Yeah.
I love them. Speaking of looks fading, my favourite episode by far is the one with the beaver. Yes. Because I just thought that he was absolutely... What is the name of that guy?
James.
I thought he was absolutely ridiculous in every way, shape or form.
Yeah.
But he has so many good lines because it's like... I think he's talking to the girl who's the pixie or fairy or something. She's purpley blue.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, what do you like about me? He's like, oh, I really like your body. And she's like, oh, so like, what would you do if I gained 400 pounds? And he was just like, his answer was like, something really bad. Like, I wouldn't be as...
Well, he can't answer to start with. I mean, that's the point where he starts looking across at the guy that's sort of teaching them how to do ice carving. Like, the hell? And the guy just leaves him hanging, like, going, oh, I'm not getting involved. Like, get out of this on your own, mate.
It was very...
I love those awkward date moments that you get on TV. I think they make for great television. And you watch it, you're like, please don't say that, please don't say that. And then they say it. And it's just like, why? Why have you done that? So Sam, we're going to get a bit personal because you're the king of dating, according to us in the show. Have you had any awful, awkward dating situation where you might have wished you was a beast?
What, me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you see, the problem with that is I've been with my wife for 27 years, aww. So it's a long time ago.
It's a long time.
I can't really remember. To be genuinely honest with you, I can't actually remember those days.
So you were dating at the times where we didn't need to go through these extremes and people just met each other nicely and got married and had lovely lives.
I was dating at a time when there were no apps, believe that, where you met people in real life and, had a chat.
Take him to the dance.
Yeah. I don't, it was kind of around when mobile phones were probably coming in as well, so I'm not sure there was texting or anything like that at that point, really, to begin with. You're talking about the dark ages, really.
Wait, but did you have, I was younger, I'm old enough to remember the times where you would call their house phone.
Yes.
Be like, good afternoon, Mrs. Andrews, can I please speak to Simon? And then you just have to be really, really polite. So I remember that, or being like, I'm going to call you at exactly 6 o'clock. be by the house phone at exactly 6 o'clock.
And also, let's not forget the house phone was like quite often at the bottom of the stairs and everybody else was walking past you. So there was no way you would get any sort of like intimate conversation of any kind at that point.
Yeah, no,
thanks. I've had a lovely day. Thanks very much.
Oh, that's nice. I feel like everyone who is like fronts these shows are all people that are like wildly in love and like have these stable relationships, and they're like getting all these people who are like, I will literally sell a half a kidney just to get
a smidge of what you have.
A smidge of what you have. A smidge of what
well,
you
maybe,
have.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know. I mean, you know, it's so interesting because when we put the casting stuff out, we couldn't say it was Sexy Beast. So we just sort of, you know, put things out going, do you want a sort of, was it unexpected or unique approach to dating? That was it. I think that was the only thing that we really said on the invite. And so, you know, it's interesting to see who applies for these things, you know?
How do you go through the casting? How do you pick who's worth coming on?
Well, I mean, you know, it's a sort of standard thing, really, where they, you know, they get in touch and then you get them to sort of, your casting team have video chats with them, as it, you know, as it was in the pandemic, certainly. We weren't able to go out, and we had people, you know, here in the UK, and we had people in the States sort of doing that. And then, you sort of filter them down and you have longer chats with them and, you know, talk to them. I mean, you know, the one thing, hopefully, that you sort of notice is when, you know, in those initial introductory bits, when you first meet everybody at the top of the show, they've all got a bit of a story. You know, there are people, I don't know if you've seen, there's an episode with a guy called Kelechi, who's a rooster in there, in this first six. And there's a brilliant moment where Cassie the frog tells him that she's not actually been on a date in 2 years. And he, and his face just drops. And it's really funny because it's a big rooster. It's face. but, you know, that was her story, that she'd not been on a date in 2 years. It, you know, everybody in there sort of, you know, had a hard time sort of finding a date. And Carousel the Panda, who's in episode 3, who is amazing, she was genuinely coming on looking for love, looking for a husband. Like, really, aww. She was like, let's do this. And she's amazing. She's fantastic as well.
Do you reckon she's found...
Yeah, has she?
Not to spoil it.
I don't know. I know that they're all planning on getting together to watch it when it goes...
Okay.
So that's interesting. Yeah.
Oh, hopefully. Okay, cool.
Hopefully.
Obviously, in the show, we've got some people who... I was getting a bit confused because we've got some people who are American, some people who are British. Yeah. Where is this actually filmed?
All filmed in the UK. Our sort of main place where we shot the sort of, you know, the big set pieces, that's a Nebworth House, which is just outside London, and the dates all happen sort of in and around London. So... yeah, I mean, again, really, I suppose sort of slightly pandemically, we had to sort of contain it all. But yeah, you know, out and about, we went into London, into bars and all sorts of places for the dates. It was great fun. But yeah, no, all here. Could you not tell? Because it looked quite cold quite a lot of the time.
yeah, to be fair, yeah, that episode where she's saying she's cold and then James does not give her his jacket.
James was just not a good date. Oh,
he just loved his muscle too much. That was his real, that's his true love, his own muscle.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Okay, so you might not have done the rounds when it comes to dating, but when it comes to TV, you've been around. What's one of been your favourite shows to like create or be a part of?
I do love this. This show is great. Like, there's myself and Sarah, who's the series producer, we both did the original sort of BBC series as well. And we love it because we both like the funny side of it. You know, we're constantly trying to think, okay, what's the funny thing that's said here when we're, you know, when we're in the edit, or we're sort of, what looks funny? And, you know, It's like when James and Alexis go for the shotgun date. The fact that they've got ear defenders and goggles on is I mean, I could barely hear anything anyway. So that show, and then I've been lucky. Like I did the early Big Brothers, and that was great because it just felt like everybody, this was a new thing, and everybody was, you know, watching, you know, that first series with Nick, you know, and that's Nick, and everything was phenomenal. You know, you've gone from a show where nobody really knows what it is to the son trying to fly little planes over the house and drop leaflets that he was cheating, you know, into the garden, because again, that was the only way you could try and get a message across in those days. You know, to go right back to where I started off, which is The Big Breakfast, I was just really lucky because that show, they just threw everything at you, like, go do this, go do that. So I was like a little AP. The second person that I ever had to interview was Robert Redford.
Bloody hell.
Oh my God, what do I say? What do I do? What can I do not to get this wrong, you know, and all that sort of thing. So I'm very thankful for the sort of career that I've had, and I've enjoyed loads of the shows that I've done. You know, right now we're filming Horrible Histories, which is great fun to do. You know, that's the show that not only is it fun to do, but you get all these lovely letters from kids and their parents that watch it, and you know, it kind of makes you feel like, you know, there's a bit of a point in some of it because it is actually getting kids interested in history. And that's a really, really nice thing.
Ah, nice. Early Big Brother was probably some of the best TV ever. And I feel for a lot of like reality TV shows, the first couple of series are the best ones because after that, people know what to do.
Yeah.
And people go in for like with a game plan and stuff. But like the first couple where people not really too sure that you can be famous from this. I don't know what's going to come out of this. It is such good television.
Yeah, I mean, you think back to that first series, you know, those of us that sort of worked in it talk about this a lot. And, you know, back then they had like one task a week, you know, and now it's like several a day to sort of keep doing things and stuff. But they were just left alone, really, to sort of tend the chickens. And, you know, you think back to Darren and with Marjorie the chicken that he got rid of, you know, all those lovely things that probably, you know, wouldn't happen so much now because I think TV moves at a faster pace now, you know, it's the audience expects it. But, and that's partially why our shows are like 22 minutes long, I think, rather than, you know, the original cuts are about 40, which is just too long, you know. So that's because we're terrible and we get too wedded to every bit of, you know, content that makes us laugh or that's quite sweet or, you know, we're awful. So, we cut it down. But I think, you know, that was the right thing to do. They play very well at 20-odd minutes, actually.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
I've always wondered this about shows that are highly talkable, right? Because you've been involved. Big Brother is one of the most talkable shows ever.
Of my whole generation, I think, yeah.
Especially in my generation, like, I remember everyone would be talking about it, like proper water cooler, everyone would be talking about it the next day. Mm. Sexy Beast, as we said, massive, or like everyone was talking about on Twitter. Have you ever had a moment, like how do you, I guess, because sometimes people will love or hate it.
Yeah.
Like people will either love Sexy Beast or think this is absolutely terrible. How do you cope with that? Have you ever had a moment where you've overheard somebody talking about your show and they're like slagging it off?
You have to let it go, really, is what I've learned. I mean, actually, back in the dark days of, and I mean dark as in the, just a long time ago, when we did the BBC Three series, it was me that was doing the Twitter account, so I'd see it all.
Oh, no!
Just sit there going, I mean, it was great when nice things came in, but obviously, you know, you can't please all the people, you know, and I've seen, you know, I'm sure you've seen it with the response to the trailer that, you know, that went out on the Netflix account. And I think it's quite interesting that, because I think people either love the sort of core concept or hate it. And the thing is, you kind of go, yeah, I think on the surface, it is a mad idea. And maybe you don't like it. And maybe you do think that it's some sort of, you know, sort of cynical way of making telly. But actually, we've done it because it's really good fun. And if you watch the show, you're going to laugh and you're going to want to know what they're like. It's actually quite sweet. It's not a sort of, you know, I don't think it's exploitative at all. I think everybody that came on it had a really, really nice time.
Yeah,
no, you know. So, yeah, you just have to learn to let go, really. I guess you guys get it. I mean, you know, you get people coming to you regarding the podcast, right? And you just have to sort of go, you know.
But you know what? It's such a good point you make about wanting to see what they look like, because ultimately I was like, I need to see what, the mask is so good that there's not a clue on what they look like. Like, you can't even imagine it. I remember the devil,
amazing.
when she took herself, I was like, oh, I didn't think she's going to look like that. Right. And it is that nice bit of, like, you're playing along with the contestants. So they're like, no one knows what's happening, really.
You know what? We were as well, to a degree. So as part of the, you know, casting process, obviously, we sort of see the videos and, you know, photos and things. But what a lot of us very deliberately did on set is we didn't meet them for the first time until they had the prosthetics on. And so you get to know them. It's 3 days to shoot a show. So we get to know them over 3 days and you start to go, oh, you know what? And then there was this brilliant moment where, so in Nebworth House where we shot it, the room in which we did those hero shots, you know, them in front of the big light that they had, it was one of the upstairs rooms there. And so there's this brilliant moment where you're waiting at the top of the stairs and here they come, and they come around the corner and you see them for the first time and climbed up and ready for their reveal hero shots. And it was amazing because every time you're like, oh my God, this is not what I thought was coming. So that was really good for us. It sort of put us a little bit in the shoes of the viewers, and that, we kind of knew roughly what these people look like, but until you actually see them in the flesh, and particularly when they're all, you know, they've got the Netflix glam on, you know, that's really nice. I think that was a really good moment.
Can you tell us what makes perfect TV, or at least the most entertaining TV?
Who's got the magic formula? I don't think anybody's got the magic formula.
You've got it, Simon.
You've worked it out.
For us, and I'm talking about me and Sarah here, because we keep calling ourselves the hive mind. Like, when we will often have exactly the same thought about a thing, you know, in a show. It's kind of like the telly that I watch. I like to just, like, Taskmaster is my favourite show.
Right, okay.
And I like Taskmaster because everyone there is having a good time and it's really funny. and you kind of feel like you're in on the moment a bit. So that, for, you know, for me and Sarah, it's kind of funny and nice and warm. That's what I like in entertainment. That's what I, and at the minute, I think that's what people still want, you know, even though, you know, hopefully we're sort of starting to come out of all of this. I think people still want a bit of escapism, you know, when you watch TV. So I think funny is key. And I, you know, if you can, if you've got the money, you know, try and make it look nice. I think you need people to engage for it. And I think crucially as well, you need people really to root for the people that they're watching. If you want to root for, like, we didn't want to put anybody in these shows who we didn't like. Like, there's nobody that was cast because they were a bad person or we thought they'd be, you know, it's not like when you put in a, what was Lady C and I'm a Celebrity and all of a sudden that show goes off the rails or takes a turn, doesn't go off the rails, it just becomes a different show, you know.
Yeah.
We didn't put anybody in there that we thought was an agitator or, you know, was a bit edgy, because it's not that show. I think we're trying to create something that you watch because you're gonna have a nice time watching it, really, I suppose. Sorry, that's a really rambly answer, isn't it? But the truth is, I don't know the key.
Okay.
No, that was a good answer.
It was a good answer. We'll take it, Simon. Okay. I don't know how I'm gonna pitch that to Netflix.
Yeah. Like,
people will have a nice time and it'll be funny.
It'll be a nice time. We'll have a nice time.
Thank you so much, Simon. We have learned a lot. Hopefully we get a reunion show. Fingers crossed.
I hope so. Yeah, well, you know, fingers crossed. I mean, like you say, the reaction to the trailer was, no, I don't think any of us expected it, it's sort of beyond our wildest dreams, really. I sat there all night on that first night, just open mouth, just looking at the response, you know, on Twitter. And it's been really lovely. So fingers crossed people sort of come to it and watch it and enjoy it.
Would the reunion be new masks or would it just be everyone being themselves? What do you reckon?
Oh, new masks, every well, you know, there's lots of ideas. I mean, there's lots of ones that we didn't make and, you know, who knows where we can go with it next time. So that would be fun.
Thank you so much, Simon. We can't wait for everyone else to see it because we've kind of watched it all. So we want everyone else to watch it now so we can start having a chat about it, basically.
Oh, thanks so much. It's been really lovely talking to you.
Oh, my God!
I've kissed this girl and I don't know what she looks like.
I'm literally just, like, in love with the moment.
Pull.
Oh! Put it. Time has come.
This is going to be really tough for me.
I can't choose both of you.
I've made my decision.
My sexy beast is...
There's interspecies relationships happening on my grounds. I won't stand for it.
That was amazing talking to Simon. As you can tell, we are very excited for you all to watch it. Like, please watch it. It's a weird and wonderful dating show. I think probably one of the most weirdest and wonderfulest dating shows I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And if I was to ever go on a dating show, it would be that. But I wouldn't take the mask off to reveal myself.
Why?
As in on shame, innit? Oh. I just don't want to be that person that it's so bad now that I'm on the dating show to find love.
Would do it, you know. I'm not even gonna lie.
Which kind of dating show to find? Like, you won't even join internet dating. You would not go on a dating show to find love.
I haven't joined internet dating.
Oh, revelation.
Yeah, I told you I've been on Hinge.
So you would do this then?
I think I would. Like, when we say of all the dating shows, I think either this one, because I think it's quite funny. Like, it's obviously taking the piss out of itself. It doesn't take itself too seriously. Yep. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I feel like I could kind of laugh that one off. So it doesn't feel like I'm like hella desperate.
Yeah.
Or I would probably do, I can't tell if I do a Married at First Sight or a Love is Blind. Both of them are equally
scary. I would absolutely do Love is Blind. Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
I do like the idea of Love is Blind.
Because I think Married at First Sight, the commitment is too big to marry them straight away.
True.
But Love is Blind, I can decide at the end of it. Like, yeah, nah, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, that's true. Could you ever, if somebody said to you, I'm going to give you money to produce your own dating show, would you do it?
Absolutely. Mm. I reckon I'd be great at it. I love love and all things like that, right?
Yeah, you'd be great.
I've got ideas. Right, okay, dating shows aside, what is your recommendation for this week?
Okay, this is what I'm recommending for this week. Do you know who the comedian Tim Robinson is?
Yes, I do actually. Oh, check me out.
Okay, girl. So... the second season of I Think You Should Leave is on Netflix now. If you didn't watch the first season, or if you don't even know what the show's about, it's a sketch comedy show, so you don't have to have seen the first season or anything like that. And there's lots of different... he's just taking the piss out of loads of different things. It's just really funny. It's lighthearted. You don't have to pay too much attention. It's just hilarious.
Nice.
Have you been the victim of unfair treatment by a business or a corporation? Has this ever happened to you?
Good
jerked you off.
Sunday fun day with these pig dicks. Hope nobody gulps us.
I don't know if you ever saw a clip, or if anybody listening ever saw a clip from last season, and it was a sketch about writing a caption on Instagram, and it's this girl that's sitting in a group of her friends, and she's like, just sitting with these fat pigs, we hate it here, blah, blah, blah. Like, she's taking the, it's basically taking the piss out of how women, like, self-deprecate.
Oh, yeah, we do that, don't we? Yeah. Oh, God. That is my biggest angle of comedy.
Really?
Yeah, just taking the piss out of myself.
Yeah, honestly, same. I can't write an Instagram caption that isn't, like, even if I'm posting it because I'm like, I look nice, I have to write something that is...
But look at me being silly. Hello. Yeah, when in fact is, I look gorgeous in this picture.
Exactly.
We need to your next Instagram post, I want you to caption that I look beautiful here.
Okay.
Please do it. Will you do it?
Yeah, I'm going to do it.
Okay, that's great news. I'm so excited to see it. My recommendation this week is, so it was actually triggered by a thing I saw. So I saw a tweet that said something along the lines of, like, all adults should be going a spelling bee challenge and you will see how stupid you really are. And I was like, wow, that's true. If I was to ever do a spelling bee anything, I would reveal myself to be an idiot. Like, imagine I've just been told to spell words. What is that?
Yeah.
I don't know. Autocorrect does that for me. So there was a documentary called Spelling the Dream, came out in 2020. And it's about kind of like Indian Americans who are kind of like amazing at spelling and they consistently win competition, and it follows like four hopeful spellers, I guess, like these are kids. And it just follows their it documents their journey trying to win this like spelling bee massive competition, because spelling bees are huge in America. And I'm so glad they never took a hit here, because God have mercy. Like, that is one thing I cannot do, which is spell. So shout out these kids who have spelt words I've never heard before in my life.
That sounds great.
Ready, set, spell.
Shukrut.
O-U-T-E. Shukrut.
Correct.
Kedorze.
Correct.
Inviscate.
Correct.
Gampong.
Correct.
Ah, dang it.
Spelling bees are a time-honored American tradition, and the Scripps National Spelling Bee is the most prestigious contest in the country.
To be a winner, you probably need to master 60 to 100,000 words.
I know 98 to 99%.
You can't be a champion by putting an hour a day.
Akash can fluently rewrite three languages.
He's so gifted in a way that kids who are six, I've never seen a child spell.
N-U-K-U-A-P-U-A-A.
And on that, I wanted to ask you to spell some words that are considered difficult to spell.
Is this a joke?
I don't know if you're up for the challenge.
Yeah, go on.
Are you up for the challenge?
Yeah, well, the thing is, I'm like quite before us.
And you're then quite watch smart, me get it. Are you?
No. It's not that I'm smart. It's that my mum's dyslexic. So I've had growing up, I've had to spell things for her.
Right, okay.
So I'm used to spelling things for people. So let's see if I can spell.
Okay, so the first thing I'm going to ask you to spell is, the hope is that I can pronounce these words, pharaoh, like an Egyptian pharaoh.
Pharaoh. P-H-A-R-O-A-H.
No.
Oh, my days. Pharaoh.
Would you like the right spelling?
Yeah, go
P-H-A-R-A-O-H.
Oh,
A commonly misspelled word is misspell. Can you spell the word misspell for me?
I'm scared. Has it got two S's or one?
I don't know. Spell it. You tell me.
Misspell. I want to say it's got two S's, but what if it doesn't? M-I-S. All right, I'm just going to say P-E-L-L. Does it have two S's? No, sorry.
It's M-I-S-S. P-E-L-L. Okay, last one for the winner.
Okay.
Diarrhea.
That one is so peak. I actually can't spell that. I don't. Oh my God, diarrhea is hard. Okay, D-I-A.
Yep.
R.
Yep.
R.
Mm-hmm.
H.
Oh.
I'm going to lose it on these last three letters.
Oh, we're getting close.
I can't find if I want to say E or O. O. E-A-A.
Yeah, well done. You did it. You did it. I mean, we both still don't have a chance in a spelling bee, but I would recommend the spelling the dream. It's very, very interesting, and just to see how smart people are.
And you know what? That really does coincide with the fact that in America, the first African-American girl, I don't know if it's ever or in the last several decades to win a National Spelling Bee, the National Spelling Bee. And it's so cute, that clip. Yeah, I know, what a little babe. That was a good recommendation.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I think you should. It's really, do you know what it is? I did feel really stupid, and it brought me back to, I don't know if you'd ever watch, Are You Smarter Than a 10-Year-Old?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which often made me feel like, oh, I'm not smarter than a 10-Year-Old. But yeah, that is it for this week's episode of 1010 Would Recommend. And we have recommended Spelling the Dream. We have recommended
I Think You Should Leave Season 2.
Happy viewing. Be sure to hashtag 1010 Would Recommend. It's been great chatting to you guys. Have a lovely week. And we shall be back next week. I've been Tolly T.
And I've been Gina. See you guys soon. But we won't see you.
But you hear us. Hear us soon. Bye.